So I saw in Psalm 51, it mentions wisdom. That's what we're talking about today. Our title is Abiding in True Wisdom. So as we look at the few words there, it says all kinds of wisdom in our world today. How do you know who to listen to? Wisdom, regardless of source, is known by its fruit. Being able to discern God's wisdom comes through abiding or traveling with God. So we're talking about abiding and true wisdom today. Kind of an interesting topic in a lot of ways. It's a hot topic, I think, for now, knowing who I should listen to. But it was a hot topic when in James's day, his audience, as you remember, we were talking about this, were all Jews. And Jews coveted wisdom. In fact, you know, there's an entire book in the Bible written about wisdom. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:7 that it's the most important thing to get wisdom. So why is that? What's the connection there? Wisdom takes facts and relates it to daily life. Wisdom relates God's truth to daily life. As I was thinking about this, you know, probably all of us know someone who's very intelligent and yet just cannot seem to manage life. They know a lot of facts, but cannot manage their money. They might even have a PhD, but they're not able to navigate a successful marriage. I mean, I heard about a professor a couple of years ago who was teaching, you know, marriage and the family, and he'd suffered through several divorces. So I'm like, wow, this is just a disconnect. But when I read through Proverbs, it has all kinds of good advice for our relationships. Relationships to God, relationships with young adults, relationships in marriage, relationships in family, relationships in the workplace. In other words, just about every aspect of our lives. I thought I'd give you a couple of examples. For instance, Proverbs 2:5 says that if we pursue wisdom, we'll get to know God better. Proverbs 3:2 says that if I pursue wisdom, I'll live a long life. I'm hoping that's going to be the case. At least I've made it 68 so far. If I get past COVID, we'll be good. So then Proverbs 15:1-2 tells me that if I have wisdom, my words will give me influence. So you get the picture. It's all about wisdom. But that's not the real issue. The issue really is where do I get my wisdom from? Whose wisdom am I going to listen to? And I think that's become such a major issue with this COVID outbreak. And I reflect, and there's hundreds of pundits, pastors, and politicians who tell you that they know it all. They have such sage advice. They've been through this before. So my question is, how do you figure out who to listen to? So James has that answer for us, I think, today. We're going to get some insights in how do we work this out. James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read that passage, first of all, out of the New Living Translation. Then we're going to jump in here after I ask God to give us some wisdom. So in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, it says this: if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you're bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, or natural, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good fruits. Shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. May God bless the reading of his words. Father God, just thank you for an opportunity here to study this passage out this morning. I pray for my own heart and for the hearts of these who are here that there would be a hunger to know what you have to say about this. we live in such uncertain times in many ways. And yet, Lord, the wisdom that we hold to is we have hope in you, not in the world around us. Pray, God, that you would help us here to see this morning three little points out of James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, that God, it's actions, not words, it's fruit, and Lord, it's all about putting you on display. So give us some insights here, Lord, and challenge us for the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so three thoughts this morning that we're going to look at. Wisdom is revealed by actions. James 3:13. Most of us, I think of wisdom as words. And yet, James is telling us that words are not enough. Wisdom is revealed by fruit. James 3:14 through 17. We're going to look at the fact that there's two kinds of wisdom and how we determine which wisdom that we should listen to. And then thirdly, wisdom, I think, puts God on display. It's a thought I had this week from something else I was listening to, and I thought, wow, how appropriate. James 3:18 brings us back to the whole idea of abiding with God, traveling with him. That's what I'm going to put it this morning, just traveling with God. So those are our three thoughts. We're going to look at them a little bit, so let's unpack them and see what God has to say for us. First of all, wisdom is revealed by actions. So you may recall at the beginning of James's chapter here, he warned us not to seek a teaching role. That's because teaching is more than just words. One needs to have a living demonstration to back up those words. That's what James is basically saying. Wisdom is not about pithy sayings, zingy little one-liners, you know, sayings that challenge you and I to live better. I thought I'd give you a couple example ones. You know, here's an old one. Stitch in time saves nine. You may have heard that. You may have not. What it's talking about is something needs to be done. Don't procrastinate. So here's one that I'm kind of more familiar with since I was a manager and used to hire a lot of people. It's not what you know, but who you know. I'm not looking at the resume. I really want to know, you know, I want to get my job basically, but you know, my friends and family helped me out. So the latest one that we have, I think, is practice social distancing. Now, I thought about that yesterday, and my son and I were talking about that, and he goes, Dad, you know, we're not really doing social distancing. All of us are playing with our cell phones, and we're talking to all our friends and texting them and interacting. And I'm going, yeah, that's true. We're staying in touch through that, but it's really the issue of physical distancing. Now, I agree. That's not such a pithy little saying, but obviously practicing social distancing is going to enhance your ability to combat COVID. But biblical wisdom is not talking about a pithy saying. Check out the message from James chapter 3, verse 13. Listen as I read it. You want to be counted wise to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well. Live wisely. Live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Well, that last sentence really caught my attention. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Wisdom is revealed by actions. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Wisdom is vindicated by her words? No, by her deeds. Wisdom is displayed by our deeds. It's what we do. He doesn't say words. He says our behavior needs to back up our words. It's what you do that carries the day. Yours and my spiritual maturity in matters of wisdom is revealed by more what we do than what we say. It's how we live. Our actions carry clout, influence our words. Watching your behavior has much more influence with me than what you say. So if I want to know what wisdom's like, I'm going to watch what you do. Also, the other flip side of that is I need to watch my own behavior. I can tell you how you behave, how you should behave until I'm blue in the face, but I have very little effect. But if I think if I behave wisely and you notice the positive result of that, that's got a lot more effect. I think it's good, something to think about. So here's a piece of wisdom that came from a seminary professor that I once heard, Howard Hendricks. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So if I know that you demonstrate care for me, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. It's what I do that counts as much as what I say. So then my question for myself and you know, for us as a church maybe is, do our actions match the truth of Scripture? Do our actions match the reality of what God's word says? Wisdom is revealed by actions. So next we want to talk about wisdom is revealed by fruit. It's not about the pithy sayings. So let's see here. Let's come back to my earlier question. Whose wisdom am I going to listen to? This is real crucial. Who I listen to and who I follow, who I looked up to, will have a direct effect on the outcome of my life. I'm going to give you an illustration this morning from that. There's two young men who I've known in this church over the years, and of course I've been here quite a number of years. I'm not going to give you names. I might give you a second name because you know him a little bit more, but the first guy was just a neat guy, loved him a lot, and we hung out a lot, and he followed me and what I was doing. But there came a point when he decided to leave the church. And I really had misgivings when he did that, because I thought, you know, you're not making a good decision here. And sure enough, you know, he left the church. He went through several job changes, and he lost his marriage in the process. His life kind of ended up on the rocks. I was like, wow, what a shock. Second guy, well, most of you know, that's OJ. When OJ first came around, it was a pretty tough time in our church. But OJ decided to latch on and to follow and to listen to fellows in his life, godly men in his life. And when he came back, I think, you know, he came back with a commitment to do what God wanted him to do. He was listening to the right people. He was listening to God's word. And so who am I listening to? That's the question here in number two. Verses 14 through 17. But if you have selfish ambition in your heart, bitterly jealous, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, actually it says natural, and demonic. So let me just kind of share with you a little insight on unspiritual and the word natural. This is something I was told a couple of years ago, and I think it's really been a good piece of advice. When I'm faced with a decision, when I'm faced with something that I have to deal with, you know, there's just the natural part of me that says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then I was taught by, you know, another brother in Christ, think about what you want to do, and then think about the opposite. Now, you might ask the question, well, why does that work? It's because this, Isaiah 55 says this, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So instead, we think just the opposite of what we naturally would do, and then that ends up being probably God's wisdom. So James says, for wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil in every kind. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. Shows no favoritism and is always sincere. That's from the New Living Translation. So James is telling us there's two kinds of wisdom. Worldly wisdom, godly wisdom. Two very different sources. Two very different approaches to life. Two very different effects. Verse 14, worldly wisdom says, what's in it for me? It's all about selfish ambition. What can I get? It's jealousy. Very me-oriented. A lot of that stuff is what we're seeing today in our world around us with this COVID virus being loose. Those with worldly wisdom are basically full of themselves. Their focus is on this planet. They lack true spirituality, and they hate the demonic thing. They hate godly rule. And notice they covered it up with boasting and lying. Sounds like some politicians I know. I don't know them real well, though. The fruit of this wisdom, James tells us, is disorder and all kinds of evil. So the result is not good. And it shouldn't be surprising to us. Without God, there's no light. There's just darkness. Evil pervades. So worldly wisdom behavior is selfish and possessive. Kind of easy to spot. On the other hand, godly wisdom is just the opposite. It is selfless and giving. Look at verse 17. God's wisdom is pure, peace-loving, gentle, submissive, merciful, full of good deeds, plays no favorites, and is sincere. Godly wisdom has no hidden motives. It seeks peace in relationships. Doesn't bring conflict. It's gentle. It yields to others. Doesn't need to get its own way. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. The farther and farther we get into this COVID thing, we're going to see a lot more of that. People want to get their own way. They're all about themselves. Could be a lot more stealing and theft going on. I like this, full of mercy. It thinks about what others are going through. I don't know about you, but you know, I've been really thinking a lot lately about my neighbors on either side of my house. And I'm trying to stay in touch with them and just say, hey, how you doing? And trying to encourage them. I want to share care for them. I don't know what they're going through. I know that, some have a house full of kids at home, and I'm sure mom was not ready for something like that. She's suddenly home educating. And, you know, a lot of people are going through that. So just being full of mercy thinks about what others are going through. Think about what others are going through in the church. And I like the word full of mercy. It means that I'm controlled by mercy. That's what the word literally means. I'm controlled by mercy. It is something that is overpowering in my life. I'm concerned about others. Others are constantly on my radar. And I'm hoping that you guys are the same, that others are constantly on, you know, your radar. So which one do you think that our world needs most right now? I think unbelievers need to see something good. And they need to see that you and I care. This is going to provide them hope. And we hope that by doing so, they're going to grab hold of our Savior. God's wisdom is sincere. It's not phony. It's not hypocritical. You and I are the real thing. You and I are the real deal. It is what the world really needs. Now, whether they turn to us or not, we can't control them. But what we can control is the wisdom that we look to, whether it's God's or the world's. Our family and friends need to see authenticity. Godly wisdom is all about others. It comes down to the basics. So when you look at these two types of wisdom, earthly wisdom is selfish. Godly wisdom is selfless. Earthly wisdom takes. Godly wisdom gives. So as you listen to all those voices around you each week, check out their message and their fruit. I saw this little line the other day, probably pretty appropriate right now as we enter into all of the COVID intenseness, as well as, you know, thinking about a potential election. A man's life is not read in his press releases. but by the Lord of his heart. Had that conversation yesterday with a friend of mine. Been talking with him back and forth. We got to discussing, you know, the election coming up and who we were going to look to. And so he was talking about, you know, who he was thinking about voting for. And it was all on the outside. It was all, you know, looking at the individual on the outside, what you see. And I just turned the conversation around and said, you know, and I won't tell you who it was, but I just said, you know what? I'm looking on the inside. I'm looking at it from a biblical perspective. What is this person's attitude toward life? What is this what's this person's attitude toward, you know, say marriage? What is this person's attitude toward, you know, others? And looking at it from a biblical perspective. And it brought him up short. He started reflecting, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. I said, well, I'm not sure if I am or not, but it sure seems like that's the way it should be. We look at what's going on inside. Is the Lord of that heart? So here's what I would say, just a little piece of advice today, too, in relation to these two types of worldly wisdom. When you're listening to somebody and you're not sure about how you should see it and how you should think about it, I would say, please give either Tom or myself a call. We'd be glad to talk it over. Wisdom is revealed by its fruit. And we got in our heart is that we want you to stay on the right path. Wisdom puts God on display. I heard this earlier this week, and I really never thought about it too much until I started looking at James chapter 3 in depth. And I said, you know what? You're right. You and I have an opportunity to put God on display in this crisis that we're facing. It's unprecedented. Wisdom's fruit reveals the character of God. God is pure. He's holy. He has no hidden motives. He's peaceful. He has no turmoil. He's gentle. He's in total control. Nothing in heaven is out of control, folks. And he's submissive. Now, I thought about that for a minute. Okay, you know, maybe that makes you uncomfortable, but let's just reflect back to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is what we're going to be doing during this Holy Week. Three times Jesus prayed to the Father that this cup would pass from him. And three times the answer came back, no, I can't. Three times Jesus said, okay, I will. So Jesus the Son submitted to God the Father. So peace from above is submissive. Peace from, you know, also wisdom from above is merciful, knows this very well. It's good. It seeks the best of others. Wisdom from above, God's character is loving. Very loving. He's the supreme lover. And it's sincere. There is no hypocrisy in what God is doing. I'll come back to that word sincere as we close. But look again at verse 17. People who work for peace in a peaceful way plant a good crop of right living. James says we're working for peace. I think that means bringing our unbelieving family and friends to peace with God. I think he's saying that we are working for God, working with God. So let me give you an illustration. Before my retirement, I worked at the university. Most of you know that. I always tried to be conscious of the fact that as an employee, I was a representative of Purdue, representative of the university. The university wanted me to present a good image locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. And I traveled in all of those aspects. And as an employee, no matter where I traveled, the university traveled with me, and I had a good image to uphold. So there was pressure. There was responsibility there. And you know what? I think of this when I think of working for God. I'm traveling for him. I'm traveling with him. That's abiding in him. And I want to uphold his character in every relationship, in every interaction that I have. I want others to know what my God is like. I want others to know what he is like. I am putting him on display. It's not words. It's not earthly. Instead, it's actions and behavior. It's heavenly. I want to have good fruit exuding from my life. Heavenly fruit, not earthly fruit. Heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. During this current crisis, this fruit is desperately needed because crisis brings out the true character of people. Over the past few weeks, I'm sure you've seen, as well as I've seen, some people with good character and some people with bad character. Usually demonstrates itself by the fruit. A lot of what I've seen demonstrates earthly wisdom. Saints, let's not get caught up in that. Instead, this morning, renew your commitment to set your heart on godly wisdom. Let's travel close with him. Let's represent him well for the world who desperately needs him. I've got a final thought. New Living Translation says, be sincere. James mentions no hypocrisy at the end of verse 17, but the word is sincere, sincere. Okay. What does that mean? There's a number of different ways that that word has been looked at from a background perspective, but there's one that I like, and it refers to the Roman times, and I think it really, really hits home today. When a ruler wanted to draft a letter, he would seal it with wax, and then he would put the imprint of his signet ring in the wax. That mark meant that this letter was authentic. This letter was sincere. So when somebody got that letter and they saw the mark in the wax, they knew that it was genuinely from this ruler. My life is a letter. It's a letter from God. A letter to his creation, to those around me. Do I have his seal of approval in my life this morning? Am I authentically his? If that's the case, let's put God, the true God, on display. So as we looked at the line at the first there, there are all kinds of wisdom in our world today. How do we know who to listen to? A wisdom, regardless of a source, is known by its fruit. So you look at the fruit. Being able to discern God's wisdom comes through abiding, traveling with him. I think Ryan's put up some questions here to ask yourself. I think they're really good questions. Sort out maybe where you're at. Because what we're after here is not just head knowledge today. We want a heart change. Do my words match my behavior from a godly standpoint? What changes do I need to make? And I invite you, if you think my behavior doesn't match up, let me know. And hey, because I have blind spots. All of us have blind spots. We don't know everything. And so it's helpful to get input. Then my next question is, am I able to discern earthly versus godly wisdom? Look at that fruit and see what's going on. Is it selfish versus selfless? Is it giving versus receiving? Getting versus receiving. Just start to try to figure out when you hear all of these folks talking. Penny and I were talking earlier this week, and there's just so many different voices being on the internet. So the question is discerning what is earthly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Am I able to discern that? Maybe if you're not, and you're more interested in looking at some things with that, hey, jump on. Give a call to Tom or myself, and we'll be happy to work that through with you. And then last question is, how well am I displaying God? What am I doing well? Where do I need to improve? You and I, we are the salt and light. We really are. In our neighborhoods, in our places of work, I know that some are still working, like Jack and Sarah, still going to work. Christine, maybe going to work yet. Mike going to work yet? How well are we displaying God in the workplace? Folks, they need to see an example of your God. They need to see an example of your loving Savior. You may be the only ones that they'll ever see. So how well are you doing displaying that? I'm going to be asking that same question myself. How well am I doing that? Where do I need to improve? And I think when we do that, we're going to display the wisdom of God to a world that desperately needs him today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message from James chapter 3, how appropriate it is. We are being bombarded by earthly wisdom. Satan is working overtime to try to tear us down. Lord, I pray, God, today that you would help us to understand that it's the behavior, not the words, that you would help us to understand it's fruit of the heavenly wisdom, not the earthly wisdom that we seek. Lord, it's also important to recognize that whether we're Mike or Jonathan or Sarah or Jack or whoever we might be here, Lord, that we are on display. I pray, God, that you'd help every one of us in this church to display you well today, tomorrow, and the coming weeks. God, to put you on display in such a way that people go, huh? Hey, I want to know why you have hope. We pray this in your name. Amen.